Praise ye the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you, praise team. God bless you. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and fire, thus as the prophet says, it is the days of the latter rain. God is moving in his fire again. By the anointing, Jesus breaks every yoke. By the anointing, by the Holy Ghost and fire, brethren, it is the days of the latter rain. God is moving in his power again. By the anointing, he breaks every. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain, wave your hand unto the Lord, everybody. I'll be removed. This mountain shall be removed. Hallelujah. By my spirit says that. By my spirit. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this day. We thank you because you're God. Say, so what is this mountain before Zerubbabel? It shall be made plain. We thank you, Lord Jehovah God, for the anointing. We thank you for the spirit of grace. We thank you, Father, that you are always there for us. In every and all situation, you are God. Today, Lord, we thank you that you brought us so far. And you will see us through to the end in Jesus' mighty name. For the anointing has paved the way. Take all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 The anointing that opens closed doors. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The anointing that opens closed doors. Amen. Many years ago, I preached on that such message. And there was a message before then, pointing about offloading the heavy burdens. And after that, we spoke on the anointing and what the anointing can do in a man's life. It is something more than gold. It is something more than silver. What the Holy Ghost in the life of a man can do. It's concerning that in my life and in the life of many Christians, the desire to seek for a breakthrough is waning. The desire to seek for a breakthrough for the anointing is not like it used to be. Maybe we are at a point that many has tried for years. I know some people who have waited on the Lord for 40 days, some for 21 days, for 10, for 7. Some take time to seek God's anointing. And many of us, many people in those days are specific on what they desire, or what they want from such waiting for the anointing. And maybe some not seeing it, and so they started giving up. I'm pretty sure that there are many saints of God, even among us here, who are still living that type of life, seeking the anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning is to encourage you, don't give up on the anointing. Amen? It is the anointing that breaks every yoke. Amen? When we talk of the anointing, we talk of closed doors. We talk of what God can do when the anointing is in the life of a man, or a woman, or a child, or anybody. And that anointing is what takes us through and sees us through. I want to encourage us to say that many a times, many of us have not had the taste of what the anointing is like in our Christian walk. And I want to encourage you to give it a shot. Desire it. Once you have one single testimony of what the anointing can do, you will never be the same in your walk with Christ. It will be a testimony that will be there because it's glorious. You can now relate based on experience that God, the God we serve, is a mighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And our God is open, willing, able to take doors that are closed, doors that are shut in your face, doors that are sealed, and open it in such a dramatic way that all who saw it will know that this is a notable miracle. This is the finger of the Lord. And when you are part of such a revelation, a manifestation, it will make a difference in your life. I had opportunity in my early years as a Christian. God in his mercy brought me around men of God, women of God, who desire to seek the anointing, who are always seeking the anointing. And those teachings got through to me on how to, and I was part of it, and we actually desire so bad that many of us in those days, we take time to break through, seek God for a breakthrough by prayer, by fasting, believing God, and we want to do something to prove. It's like a soldier who has been trained to fight battle. And when you finish training, you want to actually show your talent. Or a sportsman who has been taking through the process of learning how to find the football or food, whatever it is, they want to be presented to the crowd so that they can show what they have learned. And in those days, many of us spent sleepless nights going on night vigil, fasting and praying, waiting on the Lord to prove that the Lord God we serve is mighty. And those testimonies of those days still propel me to believe, even till today, that there is nothing, no situation that is impossible for God to solve under the anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the anointing that breaks every yoke. Amen. Let us open quickly Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 3, or 1 to 2. Quickly, please. There are doors, thus say the Lord, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding. Now remember, Cyrus is now called the anointed. Whose right hand that God has holding to subdue what the nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings and open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 God is speaking to us, each one of us. Put your name in place of Cyrus, Emmanuel, or whoever you are. That there is gates, doors, made of every kind of thing. This particular gate is made of brass and shut. But God is saying, I will go before thee and make even the crooked places what? Straight. And because of you, I will break in pieces the gate of brass. And do what? Cut the bars of iron in sunder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. When the anointing is present in the life of a man or a woman, it does things that astonish you. It becomes such a force that mountains, literally mountains, are moved. And so many of us today, even in Christendom, are going through situations that has been there for a long time. And we've been praying, calling on God to move the situation. It used to be in those days that those people that taught me would say, take time and seek the Lord's face. And we understand the language. When he said, take time and seek the Lord's face on this, is to create a special time. A time to go into fasting. A time to go into prayer. A time to shut the door and lock yourself in. And determine that you are not coming out until the Lord has shown himself to be God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It looks fanatical, but it does work. But I don't see that in me or many of us in these days again. I don't see that force of nature that pushes many people to go to this level. You can see here that it said that Cyrus the king was anointed. According to the word of God, even in the Bible days, there is no king in Israel. And for that matter, in the medieval time, most of the kings of the world in those days, they are not recognized, they are not acclaimed by their subjects or by God until the anointing oil is poured on them. A symbolic action that says you are now dedicated for the job you are called to do. No king, no prince is recognized by their subject or by God until they are anointed. Once they are anointed, spiritually speaking, The key of that kingdom is given to them. The authority to do, to act, to exert that authority is now their portion once they are anointed. God commanded Moses and said, all the instruments for the work, for the services, whether they are part of brass or whatever instruments of music or whatever, you have to anoint each and every one of them. Those are symbolic, you know, today we have anointing oil we put on people. That does not mean the anointing we are talking about is a symbolic act to give you, to show you, like in baptism, an answer of conscience, good conscience towards God when you are immersed in the water. Unless you believe and you act by faith, it's not still your portion. Christians are no more seeking the anointing. And that is why many things are hard to move out of the way. That is why many doors are shut. And that is why the enemy at times play us like games. Without the anointing, he will beat you and tore you up. He will instill fear into your life. He will bring depression. He will bring so many other things because the anointing is not there to stand as a bulwark between you and the enemy. This is the anointing that people like Paul had. To the extent that their body are so anointed that aprons, handkerchiefs, are taken away from their body, given to somebody else, or somebody took it and go hundreds of miles away. And by faith, was able to break yoke, break bandages, deliver in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in the name of Paul. Then, even in those days, somebody, the worldly people, vagabonds, Jews as they call them, sons of Sceva, noticed that, wow, this is working. Without having the right frame of mind or the salvation that comes with it or the Spirit of God, they say, let us go try it out. They went to one man, demonic-possessed individual, and started to say, in the name of this God or Christ, which says Paul preaches, we command you, adjure you to come out of him. We all know the story how demonic-possessed took seven of them and beat them up and tore them out, and they said they came out naked and beaten up. Now, without the anointing, the enemy can play games, a lot of games. And when you are a partner, married, and one person is seeking the anointing and the other person is suppressing it, the enemy can have entrance. But that shall not be our portion in Jesus' mighty name. God's will for his children is for us to prosper. That is God's plan. And I always find it amazing. Say, my will, my desire for each and every one of you is that you prosper. He didn't just mention in all things. Didn't say in one thing or the other. He said that you prosper in all things, even as your health also prospers. That is God's plan for you and for me. But for the message of today about the closed door, there is an adversary. That ancient dragon, that to bring it to where we can understand it better, God has put, allowed your blessings, your resources, the resources of heaven that's available to me and to you, to all of us, to be inside a room. And we can go in and come out with those things as we desired, as God gives us permission, as God blesses. Now, the enemy decide to lock the door. The enemy decide to seal it. The enemy decide to put a padlock, a chain on those doors. And now you can actually, you know, from the promises of the word of God that this is mine. I'm entitled to this. I can get this. But you couldn't because the enemy has blocked it. He is sitting on it. And the Bible made it clear that it is only through the anointing that that yoke, that bondage can be broken. You see, it's all over the Bible. The children of Israel were blessed until sin and other things came in. They were taken to captivity. I remember their sorrow and their bitterness because their freedom, their liberty, their life was put on hold and destroyed. They say, by the rivers of Babylon, there we hang up our harps. And them that has put us in bondage desired of us a song. He said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Yet, after 70 years of the appointed time, a man named Daniel, a prophet of the Lord, woke up to the fact that appointed time, time of my portion is now. It is time that I get what God has in store for us. He started to seek the face of the Lord. Then the prince of Persia decided to sit by the door and block a mighty man of God prayer for how many days? 21 whole days. But he did not relent. He did not give up. He continued seeking the Lord until what happens? A breakthrough came in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not yield. He did not give up. He did not go into depression. He continued trusting and believing the Lord. And then God sent Michael to come and move the adversary out of the way. And then a breakthrough comes in. Many of us have not experienced this, and many of us are not desirous of experiencing a breakthrough. Whatever it is in your life, or if not in your life, for the God's kingdom's sake, for many other reasons, you can take yourself to that position and say, I'm going to seek the face of the Lord until I get a breakthrough. If nothing else, for a testimony to the glory of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I notice that many of us decide at times to try, and they go on to the door. And they went or come to the door in trepidation. There is fear in their heart approaching that door because of who is sitting between them and the resources of heaven. They knock timidly. They tap on the door. They try to whisper, open the door, please. Now, remember who knocked the door in the first place. God have told me and you that his plan for me and you is that we may prosper in all things. So if you are not prospering in all things, or certain things are shaking in your life, or certain things has been on hold, and time seems to be running out, it is the enemy that has done this. It is the enemy that is sitting between you and what God intended for you. And God has a solution. And that solution, you cannot bypass it. It must be by the anointing that shall break that yoke. Whether it is in your life, whether it's in the life of your children, whether it is in your financial resources, whether it is in your health, whether it is in your peace, whether it is in your joy, whether it is in your freedom, whether it is in your liberty. Once the enemy put a lock and lock it out, you have to go and get it out. But the enabler is able to help. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Peter, coming out of the beautiful gate or going to the beautiful gate, notice a man that has been bound, locked up for years, all his life, chained. The man asks for alms. Peter has something that all of us should seek for, all of us should pray for, all of us should look unto God. He says, silver and gold do I have none, but such as I have, I give to you. It is in the name of Jesus Christ. The anointing that is imparted to his life, he says, rise up and walk. Now, in the days of the old, under the Old Testament, they were knocking. They keep knocking. Because that is the way it is. The outpouring, the giving of the Holy Spirit has not come. They knocked. At times, it's just like almost once a year that the high priest have to go into the innermost distinct to seek the face of God for every other person. We know the story about how he has to prepare, how he has to wait, how he has to make sure that in those days he comes before God clean and pure, because the anointing and sin does not mix. Amen? If he goes there and dies, they have to pull him out. Nobody can go into there. But under the dispensation of grace, it is no more knocking. Hear me. The anointing does not knock. The anointing destroys. The anointing tears down the door. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will never find it in any place that the anointing goes to knock. It goes through that gate of hell and get what God wants to do done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Under the distribution of grace, he says, while they were in the upper room on the day of the Pentecost, there was a noise like the noise of a mighty wind and fire. And when he came, the people who used to be timid and shy and hiding, they came out in full force and in strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The women, the men, to the point that the gate of hell was so stormed that thousands were added into the gospel, into the kingdom of God on daily basis. Hell had. Heaven heard, everybody heard that the anointing is now here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The anointing does not knock. The anointing does not beg. The anointing does not cry. The anointing destroys and pulls down every opposition. That's what the anointing does. Paul and Silas, he said, while they were in that jail, they started to call on the Lord. Then the anointing come. The Bible says it was like an earthquake. And when it came, the doorpost started to shake. The hinges, the bolts, the seal, the padlocks, they start to break. And he said everyone's chain fell off. The anointing does not break, doesn't beg, it doesn't knock. It breaks down, it destroys every opposition. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, the enemy is still sitting. The enemy is still tying up your blessings. The enemy is still sitting by the door, not allowing you to have access to what God has. And you are going to knock. You are going to cry. You are going to ask for this. No. Those days are over. It's on the days of the law that they did that. When Jesus Christ died, he said that one significant thing happened. There used to be a veil that separated me from the Holy of Holies, where the high priest have to go once a year. He said that those veils are so thick, you have to have a knife to cut it open. But what happened? He said they were rent in twain from top to bottom, giving us access into what we don't have before. But the troubling part is that the desire to seek for the anointing is no more there this day. Business of the day has taken over. Life or whatever it is has taken over. And many of us, in a lot of ways, are carrying heavy burdens that only the anointing can break. Let's go to Isaiah 10:27, please. 10:27. Read with me, everyone. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall what? Shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed. Remember that word. Destroyed. Knocked in pieces. Uprooted. Root and stem. Uprooted by the anointing. Because of the anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the duty of every Christian to seriously pray and seek for the anointing. I've had, by God's grace, testimonies in this area in earlier days, and even by God's grace in these latter times. There are situations I pray for. I cried unto God. I remember one of such. The day that the anointing came through, and break that yoke, I know. It is her desire that I had. And from that day, I had a taste of that anointing. It has never left me again. Now, what is the anointing? My definition of the anointing is this: God in a male model, in a man or a woman or a child or any person, doing that which only God alone can do. In other words, there is a God in heaven that we serve, that is able, by his promise, by his word, say that I go, but I come again. And he did come in the Pentecost. And he says that when I come, I shall bring the comforter, the enabler. And when it is in your life, it will enable you to do great things for the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the comforter is in one's life in the days of the old and in these days, Peter demonstrated it, what it means to have that enabler in your life. I remember reading as a young man the books of 2 Samuel 23 and so on. And I saw the mighty men of David. And I scratched my head and said, I didn't understand. How can one single human being in one single battle kill 800 people? 800. See, is the Bible lying or something? How's that possible? They are trying to kill him here. Yeah? They have their own machete. They have their own gun. They have their own sword. And they are hacking on him. And one person, the Tashamite, killed 800 people. But later on, I started to understand, it is the anointing in them doing that which only God can do. God had decided to destroy the enemy, to pull them down. And these men of God, only three of them at times, they are in the forefront of the battle. The whole battle is won. They are superhuman beings when it comes in them. I looked again at somebody like Samson, a man that said, I took the jawbone of a donkey and ass, and I slayed 1,000 with them. I said, wow, how did that happen? And then I started to understand that it is the anointing in them, the anointing to make war. There are different levels of anointing and types. Anointing for joy, anointing for peace, anointing to break you, anointing to battle, anointing just God can give you as needed. So once Wungu, three people and David conquered the whole nations around him because of the mighty men of David. Himself is a mighty, mighty, mighty person. But these people are anointed that they go on. Samson himself was. He says slaughtered 1,000. But as I say, sin does not mix with anointing. There have to be holiness for anointing to be there. That is why you have to work for it, believe God for it, act for it. He sinned. His eyes was taken. But he has had a taste of this anointing and he cannot let go. He said, one more time, Lord, give me a portion of that anointing. One more time. And God heard his cry. He said, take me to the post, to the pillars that hold the whole place. And they put him in between these two posts, huge pillars. And that anointing came on and he pushed and he strained and the whole wall came coming down. I say that in one single instance, he killed, destroyed more of the Palestinians than all he did in his 20 years of service as he that judged Israel. That is the anointing, and that's the grace of God. The anointing is in you, the anointing is in me, the anointing is in every believer. If you are a believer, if you're a child of God, there is a measure of an anointing that comes at salvation. It is up to you to decide how you can operate it. Either you are going to take a spoon to go to the ocean and fetch it. Either you are going to use a cup to go to the ocean and take some. Either you are going to go with a bucket. Either you are going to go with a tanker. Either you are going to go and pipe it in so that it is constantly flowing. Jesus Christ has this anointing without measure. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And the saints of God, the man child, by the God's grace at the end time, also have the same. But the anointing is without measure with Christ. With us, there is limitation. It is then up to you to bestow the anointing in you, to work to promote it, galvanize it into action in your life. But that is where I say we have become dormant. Many of us, we do not seek the anointing these days. We do not push effort. Because the zeal is what is telling the church in Revelation. Your former love, your zeal, you have slacked. Brethren, let's bestir ourselves in Jesus' mighty name. It is only the anointing that breaks the yoke. What is the purpose of the anointing? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The purpose of the anointing. Jesus Christ being anointed said, the Spirit of the Lord God is now upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Watch that word. Everyone, every instrument, every work that has to pull down and destroy. The enemy's plan, the enemy's work. There has to be an anointed in that, anointing in that person. Or your labor is not going to go too far. Or your straining and your effort is just going to be limited, very, very limited. Jesus Christ said, because what? I am anointed to do what? To preach good tidings unto the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim the liberty to the captives. And opening of prison door to them that are go to 2. Or go to 3. Hallelujah. Move on to 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them unto them beauty for ashes, and oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now see what the anointing does. Them that are in captive could be set free by the grace of God in your life. Amen. Them that are bound can be freed because of the anointing in your life. Your soul saving will be more efficient, effective, when there is an anointing in it. When people are bound, or tied down, or just hopeless, you can be there to give them hope. Oil of joy for their mourning will be replaced because of the anointing in your life. Where there was no praise before, the high praise of God will sing out because of the anointing in your life. And because of you, the anointing in your life, many that are not even lined up will now become trees of righteousness for the Lord, the plant of the Lord. To the end result that God and God alone shall be what? Glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what the anointing does. The purpose of the anointing is not for self-promotion. The purpose of the anointing is not for show, for money. It is freely given to you. And you have received it, also do the same to others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On the occasions, I say few, because I want this anointing. I pray for this anointing. I ask God for more, for more, for more. On the few occasions that I've experienced this grace of God, I wish we have, all of us at a point seen it. It is such a glorious feeling when that God's grace is coming through you to do something to glorify God. You feel alive. You feel connected to the eternal God. You now believe that, sincerely speaking, there is a God in heaven. There are many Christians who doubt, even due to circumstances, is there a God? Not after the anointing has been in your life. That is why you become an anathema, a cursed person, if after that you can go back and say there is no God again. Brethren, seek the anointing. Pray God for the anointing. Look for a way to get the anointing into your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Getting the anointing is paramount if you want to be an effective minister for God. It's a breakthrough that must happen. The greatest way that I've seen that many breakthroughs have happened is people who make time to wait on the Lord in fasting and praying, in reading of the Word of God, in praising God. As I said, sin and the anointing does not mix. At the moment, Jesus Christ, who is without measure in this anointing, the sin of the whole world was heaped on him. And my God, he felt so empty, he cried, "Abba, Father, have you also forsaken me?" No. For a moment, God cannot even look at him because of my sin, and your sin that is heaped on him. David, when sin came, that anointing was so departed. He said, "Lord, please do not take the joy of salvation from me ever again," in Psalm 51. That is how important the anointing is in one's life. when the anointing is there, it gives you the zeal you need to stand up for Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to retain the anointing by continuing in the war. Continuing, you cannot give up because the enemy wants Christians that are not anointed. The hard work that one person that is anointed can do against the kingdom of that person, that they will know it. It is the anointing that breaks every yoke. If in your life you have situations, and all of us do, God's grace and God's decision prevails. But I can tell you that there's an anointing that can provoke open door by all means. It's an anointing that comes and the enemy cannot withstand it, because God, as I said in the beginning, has already planned for you to prosper and to do well. But the enemy put a padlock, forcing you to stay aside and see what God has for you without testing it. It shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. The Lord's grace shall be upon your life to open that door. Amen. And to go in and out and bring the blessings that God has for you in the mighty name of Jesus. But faith without work is definitely dead. We have to do the work part. It is in measure. I know thy word. Behold, I have said before thee, and no man can shock it. No devil can shock it. It doesn't matter who. When the anointing is present, none can shut it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jordan will pass in the face of anointing. Manna will fall from heaven for you in the face of anointing. Amen. God will set an ambushment into the camp of the enemy. Mount Sinai, the Amorites, every one of them that come against you, there will be a confusion in their camp in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of the anointing. Whether they be the Moabites, Ammonites, Mount, know what happened in the case of Joseph. See, the Lord set an ambushment. And they started fighting one. And when one fought two, then they joined and finished. And the ransom of the Lord, redeemed of the Lord, stood and watched the salvation of God. Amen. That is your portion in the name of Jesus. That is what God has called you to prosper by. Not for you to capitulate and give up in the face of the enemy, but for the enemy to be so confused and so disorganized that they will self-destruct and you will take the victory. Your greatest enemy is not human being, brethren. It is not that person. It's not that person. Not that person. No. It is the one that is sitting by that door. And the only way to get him out of there is We can do the offering now, please.